Let's read together Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. In this first half of the chapter, we have the rite of circumcision being carried out before the children of Israel move on to conquer Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way, after they had come out of Egypt. And all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Once again, some background notes. For the children of Israel, circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Some of the other surrounding nations practiced circumcision, but for them, it was used as a sign of entry into adulthood. For God's people, circumcision was the sign of the covenant that he made with them, starting with Abraham. I'm reading Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." So circumcision, then, was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Now, in verse 2 of chapter 5 here in Joshua, we read that at that time the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." The second time here does not mean that all the males were recircumcised. That would be pretty hard to do. The second time refers to the new generation that is to be circumcised. Look again at verse 5. "For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised." So it's this new generation of men that is being circumcised. This act of circumcision, by the way, was a great demonstration of faith on the part of Israel, wasn't it? How so? Well, you don't circumcise your army with the enemy only a couple of miles away, right? Until the men were healed, they were sitting ducks before the enemy. But God protected them because they stepped out in faith and obeyed God in this matter of circumcision. And more we could say on the background, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Joshua chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one. Spiritual circumcision should come after crossing Jordan. Spiritual circumcision should come after crossing Jordan. We've mentioned before that the whole journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan is a spiritual picture in the Old Testament that God has given us of the Christian life. Egypt, with its bondage, portrays the satanic world system. But we've been redeemed out from this world and out from under the power of Satan. Now God wants us in the promised land. God does not want us wandering around in the wilderness of Christian experience. He wants us in the land. That is the land of spiritual blessings and the land of spiritual battles. Read the book of Ephesians in this connection. Now, we've seen that following the ark through the Jordan River pictures our identification with Christ in his death and resurrection. Remember the two sets of 12 stones in Joshua 4 that we studied last week? Romans chapter 6 says that believers have died with Christ and are risen with Christ. This is the way God sees us. And we are to know these spiritual realities and count them as true and live in the good of them. Romans 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, count it true, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is our spiritual position in Christ. Now, when we recognize this truth, that we have died with Christ and have been raised with Christ, and we live in the good of this truth, we are living in the land. This is crossing Jordan in the spiritual picture. Now we can enjoy our spiritual blessings in Christ. And now we can fight the spiritual battles that God wants us to fight. But now, what is this circumcision all about in the spiritual picture? Answer: the physical circumcision of Joshua 5 pictures the spiritual circumcision that we read about in the New Testament. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "In him," that is in Christ, "you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." The circumcision here, made without hands, is spiritual circumcision, as physical circumcision has to do with cutting off the flesh, literally. So spiritual circumcision has to do with cutting off the flesh, that is the sinful nature. The sinful nature is called the flesh in the New Testament. This spiritual circumcision is done by Christ, as we see here in Colossians 2:11. When Christ died for our sins, he died for our sinful natures as well. The flesh has been judged. Now we need to recognize this truth and practice spiritual circumcision. Now, how do we practice spiritual circumcision? We apply the knife of the Word of God to our flesh or sinful natures. It is the death to self principle. It is the judgment of self in the light of God's Word. It logically, you see, follows the Jordan River in the spiritual picture and in our experience. When we really realize the truth that we have died with Christ and risen with Christ, then we should automatically begin to judge ourselves and put self in the place of death. That's spiritual circumcision. Listen to the words of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now skip down to verse 5, where you have spiritual circumcision. "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." There in verse 5, we have spiritual circumcision. Do you see the spiritual picture that we have here in Joshua chapter 5? Spiritual circumcision should come after crossing Jordan. Doctrinal point number 2. Spiritual circumcision must come before conquering Jericho. Spiritual circumcision must come before conquering Jericho. Jericho was a major enemy stronghold. Jericho blocked the whole way into the central portion of the land. For Israel to advance, Jericho had to go. In the spiritual picture that God has given us here of the Christian life, Jericho represents major barriers that Satan puts up to block our advance into the land that God has given us. We talked about materialism as a Jericho back in chapter 2. Remember that? A root of bitterness, for example, could be a Jericho in your life. Somebody did something to you or said something about you years ago, and you can't forgive them. You're mad at them and you're mad at God. You can't move on in your walk with the Lord because of this Jericho. Listen, that problem will never be resolved until you are willing to practice spiritual circumcision. Are we willing to judge ourselves and put self in the place of death? Only then can Christ begin to live his life through us. Only then does Galatians 2:20 really work out in experience. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Spiritual circumcision must come before conquering Jericho. Spiritual circumcision is not easy. It can be painful. Listen, being circumcised with a flint knife is not a pleasant part of the picture, right? But although putting the knife of God's word to our flesh can be very painful, it must be done. Only then can we move on and conquer the Jerichos. Spiritual circumcision must come before conquering Jericho. Practical application. Don't let the enemy scare you when you can scare him. Don't let the enemy scare you when you can scare him. Look at verse 1 once again. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. What a difference a generation makes. Remember when Israel sent out the spies 38 years before this time? Except for Joshua and Caleb, the whole nation ran scared before the enemy. Now the tables are turned. The enemy is scared. How come? Did Israel have better weapons now? No. Did they have horses and chariots now? No. The Lord changed the heart of the enemy. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Once the enemy despised and belittled and laughed at these Hebrew slaves from Egypt who talked about living in the promised land. But they're not laughing now. Now they were scared. The Lord caused the heart of the enemy to melt before Israel. You know, the Lord can do the same for us when we follow him. You've heard the expression, the devil flees when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. Now, that's not a Bible verse. Don't look for it in your concordances. That's not a Bible verse, but it is biblically true. James 4:7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let me ask you, are you under attack right now in spiritual warfare? Listen, don't run scared. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't let the enemy scare you when you can scare him.